Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
One, another bunt towards third base. Manny charges, goes to the bare hand. The throw to first is in time and out number two. Gonna hang a star for Manny Machado, who is once again playing that cat and mouse game.
Padres are back in the win column because of plays like that by Manny Machado today. They beat the Cubs 4-2. And right back to their winning ways after suffering their first loss of the season last night. We welcome you into the post-game coverage here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. It is Gwynn and Chris with you for the next couple of hours, although Gwynn will not be with you. He is probably on his way down to the airport with the rest of the Padres, who will then be climbing on the flight to Houston tonight. And Tony will be back with us on the off day tomorrow from the most humid city in America, Houston, Texas.
Is that true? I would say Miami.
Miami probably is right there. But I got to be honest with you. Houston can make you – I think you can be so humid there you can almost just get ill. It's just.
It says.
You can see the air in Houston. I've been there before, and you can see the air.
I have
so
seen
thick.
That too. You can. It says Honolulu is the most.
Honolulu.
New Orleans is also one.
Honolulu's down near the equator, so I get it. But Honolulu is so wide open, and the island.
You get
feel,
some breeze.
There's some humidity, but there's a breeze. In Houston, it just like hangs there on you.
I've never been in New Orleans.
Here's my proof that Houston is the most humid place on earth. They invented indoor baseball because Houston was so impossible and miserable to play in.
Why did it take so long for someone to say, let's play indoors?
Well, they started the Houston baseball franchise. They were originally called the Colt 45s, by the way.
I do know that.
Named after a gun. You think that would hold up in this day and age?
No.
Probably not. The Houston Colt 45s. Yes, they began play in 1962. By 1965, they had built the Astrodome, and they moved their games inside because it was unbearable. So you can thank the awful humidity in Houston for the fact that we have indoor baseball stadiums around the country.
It started
right there. So
I, for one, don't really like indoor baseball, but if it gets the games in, it gets the games in.
Gets the games in. The only indoor stadium I ever saw a game, Scraby, that I can recall was the old King Dome in Seattle.
Yes.
And it was like really odd for me.
Like in a big pool room?
No, it felt like a movie theater, but a baseball game was going on down there. It was just strange. I didn't care for it. But Houston's, anyway, enough about the weather.
I did it in Miami. And they closed the roof while I was there.
Okay.
That was cool.
Yeah, they have the ability, obviously, to do that.
But like three people now go to games there.
Look, the Texas Rangers played in Dallas, and still do, or Arlington. They played outdoors for the first 40 years of their existence. And year after year after year, the Rangers would fall apart in August and September, and nobody could seem to figure out why.
Oh,
and I was like, maybe they just got worn out, right? Playing in that awful Texas heat. So now the Rangers play, indoors, outdoors. And guess what? Won the World Series last couple of years ago. Amazing how that happens. So, all right, enough of the weather. The Padres are back in the win column with a 4-2 win today. They take the series from the Cubs. They finish up another great homestand. 5-1. And, yes, I know. It would have been nice to go 6-0 and still be undefeated at home.
They are going to lose games. They're really setting us up for expectations to be too high.
Right. Eventually, at some point, they were going to lose one. So it happened last night. We'll talk a little bit about that game, but we'll talk a little bit more about today's game. I do have my notes on a scorecard from each of the two games last night and today. So we'll go over some of the fun notes. But overall, You know, I thought some pretty good baseball the last 2 days. I mean, I know there were some plays that were not made on both sides last night and today. But ultimately, I think these are two teams that are going to be in the postseason. I don't know that they'll play each other. You never know how it's going to set up. But I think these are two postseason capable teams. The Cubs lineup is really deep. I mean, when you can get Pete Crow Armstrong batting seventh, that's, look, honestly, it's better than what the Padres are putting up seventh at this point. Now, one of the reasons is the Padres still have the injuries, Jackson Merrill, et cetera, Jay Cronenworth. So their lineup isn't as deep right now as it will be. But I think the Cubs are, you know, potentially a postseason team. They, you know, all they have to do is win the NL Central, which isn't a great division. But I thought these were good games. They were fun games the last two nights. I'm not going to go to the old cliche and say, well, these were playoff style games. No, they were April. It's still, you can't possibly get a postseason feel in April. But it did feel like stuff mattered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When a play wasn't made, or somebody took an extra base, or somebody made a, you know, good pitch on the corner, it felt like it mattered.
Yeah.
That, to me, is engrossing baseball. And, you know, both games were great. Now, Padres come back today, get the win. I thought Nick Pivetta, just again, outstanding. This guy is 3-0 at home. He's only given up one run. I'm not ready to give him the Cy Young yet, because I need to see him go out and win a couple games on the road. He's been, his only game on the road, he didn't pitch well in Wrigley. Of course, it was 12 degrees. Pivetta's looking great, right? The bullpen, once again, gets the job done. They did give up a run. Wandy Peralta had to work the eighth inning today because Jason Adam had pitched the last two games. Great job by Wandy. Look, he gave up the home run, but with two outs and a runner at second, when you had to, just had to have the out, you had the best hitter on the Cubs at the plate. And he struck out Kyle Tucker. That was big.
That was a nasty changeup.
Right? It was a great pitch. I mean, you get a guy like that in that situation, to me, that's good pitching. The defense. The ninth inning told you all you needed to know. Tyler Wade's playing center field where he's really unfamiliar out there. Yet, say a Suzuki hits a rope to left center field on the warning track, Tyler Wade cruises over and tracks it down. That was a nice play that people didn't probably even think about when it happened. And then Manny's brilliance to read the bunt. And if you go back to this play, Manny is basically playing shortstop, right? Because they got the shift on. He's playing shortstop, and he's playing a deep shortstop. Michael Bush is their cleanup hitter. But smart move by Michael Bush. They need two runs to tie the game, so somebody has to get on base. He says, I'll take it. First to pitch, he bunts, but he bunted it foul. Second pitch, I watched Manny, and I said, well, he's got to move in just in case he wants to bunt again. Manny went right back to the same spot he was, at deep shortstop. But you know what he did?
He moved in.
As soon as the pitcher, Suarez, went into the windup, Manny came sneaking in. And Bush did not bunt. Next play, I think Bush thought he tricked him. No, you can't trick Manny. And he snuck in. So he was there to make the play. Now, he still had to make a great play. But if he doesn't sneak in on the windup, he wouldn't have got there in time. His baseball IQ, we've talked about it before, is off the charts.
It is.
And he makes a great play there. He had two RBI hits today, Manny had. So it's a big day for him. You want to give the game ball, though, to Tyler Wade. And I don't mind agreeing with you.
Because Manny Machado will have plenty of opportunities
for
the game
ball. Tyler Wade, left-handed against lefty, went 2-for-2 with two walks and two runs scored. That, out of the nine spot, was one of the keys to the game today. So I agree with you that Tyler Wade had a big game. And look, the Padres are getting it done. Look, I mean, what, 15-4? That's going to work.
Working for me.
12-1 at home. That's going to work. And, you know, they go on the road. Here's the one last thing I'll say. This is the sixth series they've played, right? They played the Braves. And who was the second team on the first homestand that they swept?
The Braves, Guardians.
Right. Braves, Guardians. Then they went to Cubs.
A's.
Went to A's. And then home Rockies, home Cubs, right?
Yep.
Six series. They've won the last game of all six series. That always puts everyone in a good mood. Even if you lose the first two, which they did in Chicago, remember they won the last one? Yep. Everybody felt okay about it.
And they did it in comeback fashion.
It's always good to win the last game of a series. I don't care what the rest of the game. You know, you win that last one, you get on the flight, you're feeling good going for this road trip, which hits Houston and Detroit, I believe.
Yes.
Before they get back home.
Yes.
So, look, it's been an amazing start to the season. It continues today with the 4-2 win. We are on an extra hour tonight until 7 o'clock. Scraby will actually take over the proceedings from 6 to 7 because that's his hour. I will be here, but it's the Scraby Chronicles. I hate to step on that. We'll be here, though, until 7 o'clock, hanging out, talking Padre baseball. The NBA playoffs started last night. Another. Well, you don't like it, but you missed it if you didn't watch it.
The Warriors?
No, Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Just an incredible performance. The guy's 36 years old. He goes out there. He scores 15 of their last 19 points to beat Ja Morant, who's younger, more athletic, more, you know, high profile. But Steph just is there. Hits all the three-pointers, makes all the key plays, the free throws. Great game last night. We'll talk a little bit about that. The NFL draft is 8 days away, Scraby.
I know.
I hope you're getting prepared.
You know, when we accepted the draft show, it sounded good at the time.
Now you're getting a little nervous about it?
No, it's always fun.
We'll have the draft a week from tomorrow. Tomorrow is our roundtable. Make sure everybody gets that on the calendar from 10 a.m. to 11. Myself and Scraby will join Ben and Woods, Braden Suprenen, and I believe Paul.
I think so, yeah. We'll
be there. We'll be talking an hour commercial-free Padre baseball tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 11. Want to remind you that this hour of the program is the happy hour. And it is brought to you by our friends at GL Pools. They are the swimming pool experts. They are trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Going on 20 years, baseball's back, so is swim season. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now, GL Pools. Mention the word radio, and you'll get a free month of pool service. Should I take a break? I'm at a weird time.
I'm honestly not sure if we should take a break.
Let's
just go. We'll go to 28 and then we'll get back on track.
We'll get back on track. All right. So we have a couple
minutes. But let's play traffic real quick first.
All right. Give me some traffic.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Couple problems in the North County, North 15 before Miramar Road. Crash the clearing stage in the center divide. Also, South 5 Coastline just past Oceanside Boulevard. An accident over to the right shoulder. And South on 5 near Cesar Chavez Parkway. There's a collision involving a couple cars there over to the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we jumped on the air following Padre baseball today, and the love affair continues with the Padres.
How can you not?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
before you bring me down, can I talk about Manny and the Michael Bush thing? Because I was listening to Tony Jesse stuck in traffic trying to get from Petco back up here.
Oh, you're talking about the play in the ninth inning?
Yes. They were throughout the game, because you can hear it in the press box. They were saying, like, Manny was doing this throughout the entire game, and he was just being really, really good at disguising it.
Cat and mouse.
And then Michael Bush looks up, and there's Manny, and he's like, now it's in the back of his head. If I bunt this, Manny's going to get there. He's going to throw me out. And it finally worked in the ninth. And you said Manny's baseball IQ is off the charts. It really is. He's already done three things this year that have been off the charts baseball IQ.
If you want to play cat and mouse with Manny, he's going to get the cheese. I don't know if that's the way I should have said that.
No, but that's fine.
That's the best I can do. Manny's going to probably win that battle. Here's the negative. And to me, there is one. After the game, Mike Shildt is giving his post-game press conference. And he's asked about Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge. Remember that Jackson Merrill is due to come off the injured list in time for Friday's game.
That was the plan.
Guess what? Not happening.
We saw Jackson and Brandon doing the dribbling you were talking about earlier today. Do you know how close they might be to jogging?
I think they're getting close to jogging. I think they're getting fairly close. They're going to stay back this homestand, and we're about to put together a calendar that, you know, from a baseball activity standpoint, that what they can do over the next 7 days.
Yeah. All right, a couple things there. First
of
all,
that one in there.
He did. First of all, he said yogging instead of jogging. I don't know if that's Mike Schilt's way.
I think it's Mike Schilt's thing.
Okay. He also said they're going to stay back this homestand. Understand that he meant they're going to stay back this road trip. Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge, who I don't care quite as much about, frankly.
Sorry, Brandon.
But yeah, Jackson Merrill is not going on this road trip at all. No, of course you don't like that.
But they're winning, so why would they force him to come back when they don't actually need him?
They don't need to force him to come back. I'm not saying that. The bottom line is, I think you're going to only win so long without him. And you've got to get, he's one of the big guys on this team. He's got to get back. But he can only come back when he's ready. And I don't like to say I told you so, but I did. I did. When Mike Schilt told us 2.5 weeks ago that Jackson Merrill was sitting out a game, he had a little, you know, balky ham. I think it was balky hamstring.
Balky.
Remember that?
Yes.
Next day, it turned to be into a bit of a, you know, kind of a bit of a strained hamstring. And then the next day, he went on the injured list, and they said, this is all just getting ahead of it. We don't even really need to do this. We're just doing it as a precaution. Everything's going to be fine. I knew it wasn't, because it's the way
it's
these
easy
things.
To say it, now.
It is, but I did say it then.
I know, and
I did say it that I was concerned because these hamstring things have a way of hanging on.
But he's
and now here
young.
We are. I know, but here we are. The 10-day IL time is up, and Jackson isn't back. And not only is he not back, he's out for at least another week because he's not going on the road trip at all. Right?
Yeah.
They go to Houston, Detroit. They come back next Thursday. So he's not even, you can't even think about Jackson Merrill playing for another week. And even
fantasy
then.
Team is struggling.
What's that?
My fantasy team is struggling.
Well, that doesn't help anybody's fantasy team, but it hurts the real team, too.
It does. But hey, does it?
Yes, it does.
The record doesn't show that.
Yeah, well,
I know. When Jackson's back, it completely changes a lot about the lineup. But
like I've said, they've been getting by here with not what I would call exactly a murderer's row of a bottom five in the lineup.
No.
That will change when Jackson and Jake come back.
Pushes people down.
But yes, everybody's moving up, and I'll be honest, everybody's doing their part. They're filling in nicely. It's unlikely to hold up this good without everybody contributing. Jackson Merrill's gone for at least another week. I thought the interesting thing was, is Mike Schilt said that, and nobody even raised an eyebrow. Like, this is kind of big news that he's not going on the road trip. I thought.
He did say homestand, so I'm like, is there something in there that we're missing?
No, he said homestand, I'm sure by mistake. Anyway, that's the only bad news, the only fly in the ointment, as it were, so far. Padres 4, Cubs 2, win the series, improve to 15-4, keep rolling along. Notes on a scorecard are following. Always a bunch of fun stuff about today's game. And something I saw last night that I've never seen before, and I don't know that we'll ever see it again.
A flying pig?
I didn't see that, but I'll tell you what I did see when Gwen and Chris returned.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Mouth-watering. But so is Roundtable, and that's one of the reasons I look forward to the Thursday Roundtable. You should as well. Tomorrow, between 10 a.m. and 11, it's an hour of commercial-free Padre talk with all of us on the show, all of us on this show and all the shows. And while you listen to us, we are able to mac out on some delicious round
Excuse
table
me, did
pizza.
You just say Mac out?
I did. If we can get there before the salespeople, then we get the we get some great round table
I
pizza.
I think that's been taken care of. Our guy Rick is very serious.
Rick does a good job. Our sales guy Rick puts the round table thing together, and he's actually hired security now to protect the pizzas so that we make sure that
Darn
we get
tootin'.
Some. Very nice of you, Rick. We appreciate it. Padres have made a trade today. I know we're 30 minutes into the show. You think it would have been worth mentioning earlier, but it's not
really
a big trade. It's a minor league deal. The Padres have reacquired outfielder Bryce Johnson, who was with this club at some point last year.
Yeah.
And they have sent away to the Pittsburgh Pirates scrappy catcher Brett Sullivan. I kind of am going to miss Brett Sullivan.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Mean, when everybody else fails, Brett Sullivan comes in and doesn't hurt the ball club. He always gives you a good, good battle.
It's just like he doesn't figure into the Padres' future at all.
He's fourth catcher at the moment.
But should he be? I obviously am not good enough to evaluate his talent.
Well,
but
if you're,
does that tell you something that an outfielder's coming back? Like, hey, we're preparing for something.
No, I'm not looking in, not reading into that at all.
But you're reading into Mike Shildt's comments.
All right, you want to play them again? He said...
I'm very nervous about this, Chris.
He said they're keeping Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge back on the next homestand. I'm sure he meant this upcoming road trip. Do you want to play it again
sure.
so that you cover yourself?
Yes.
Because you and I are announcing to everybody...
I know.
...that Jackson Merrill will not be available for the next week. Here is why we are saying that. Once again...
I think they're getting close to yogging. I think they're getting fairly close. They're going to stay back this homestand, and we're about to put together their calendar that, from a baseball activity standpoint, that what they can do.
I'm not saying
you didn't,
that.
You didn't get the end of it. Get the end of it, the calendar over the next 7 days, which confirms the fact.
From a baseball activity standpoint, that what they can do over the next 7 days.
See, that confirms it. They're putting together a calendar of what they can do over the next 7 days because they're not going to be playing baseball in Houston or Detroit, and that's referring to Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge. It's the only, like I said, it's about the only negative thing you can come up with.
Yeah.
All right.
Not good.
Let's check some traffic, Scraby. Then you know it. You love it. I'm now writing on the back of my wife's shopping list.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to get a new book?
I do. I need a new book. Could you buy me a new book? I'm writing on the back. Here's my notes on a scorecard.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danick.
Got a collision on southbound 5 at Cesar Chavez Parkway. A couple cars involved there over to the right shoulder. Another crash closer to the border. This one's right before Via de San Isidro. Several vehicles involved in this one. Two right lanes are blocked. Fire crews showed up for this one because it looks like one of those vehicles may have caught fire. That's southbound 5 right before Via de San Isidro. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have some music now for Notes on a Scorecard. Wow, that's great. High praise indeed.
I felt like you needed a good-sounding baseball theme.
It's very good. I love it. Let's start with last night's game, because I saw something last night that I've never seen before. I doubt I'll ever see it again. You saw it. So did everybody else who was there. Manny Machado hit a fly ball down the foul line and right. Kyle Tucker dropped it for an error. Two pitches later, Manny Machado hit a pop-up behind the plate. The catcher never saw it. The poor third baseman ran all the way down. He, too, dropped it. I've never seen that to begin with. A team drop two pop-ups on the same at-bat.
Doesn't happen often.
Ever. And here's what never happens. Manny then popped a home run. I mean, when you see stuff like that, you're like, yes, this is our season.
Yeah.
Stuff's going like that.
Yeah.
It was awesome, and I loved it. And remind me at the end of the year, but when we do our moments of the year, I think that home run will make my list. I just thought it was awesome.
Even though they lost?
Yeah, they lost the game, but I'm going to remember the moment of Manny, battling, fouling off pitch after pitch after he was lucky enough to stay alive and then hitting a home run. Padres ultimately lost the game last night. Why? Because a couple of plays they didn't make. This is what we've talked about. When you got two good teams playing each other, plays that are not made decide the game. In the first game, Ian Happ didn't catch a fly ball. Last night, Luis Arraez came in on that bunt and bobbled the ball. I don't know if he would have thrown him out at home. It was going to be a tough play. It was a good bunt by Crow Armstrong, a very good safety squeeze. But tough play. If you make it, you probably win the game. But they didn't make it. Cubs scored. Eventually, they went in extra innings. One more thing I noticed about last night, and I'll bring this up. In the bottom of the 10th, the Padres obviously were down now 2-1. And by the way, I thought Matsui did a hell of a nice job. I know he gave up the triple, but then to leave that runner at third base and give the Padres a legit chance,
yeah.
I thought was some good pitching. But you start with the runner, obviously, at second base. Should you bunt there? If I'm not saying you should, I'm asking. Should you bunt there and move the runner to third, increase your chances of tying the game? Because as the saying goes, you have to tie it before you can win it.
Was Connor Joe up first in that inning?
Yes, he was, and he struck out, and he didn't really look like he was ready.
I would have used the bunt there.
I probably would have, too. However, after that, Iglesias stole third anyway. So he ended up at third with one out, which is what you would have wanted.
So he forced the issue.
He did.
Yeah.
Here's where I thought that the Padres, I don't know if they made a mistake. I don't know if there was, it was unclear. I don't know if Iglesias just didn't get a good jump. But normally, and I'm going to ask Tony about this tomorrow because he has a better look at this stuff. Normally, with a tying run on third and one out, they bring the infield in, as we know. You go on contact. What that means is the second you recognize that the ball has been hit into the ground, you take off for home no matter what. You don't wait to see where it went. You don't hesitate. You just go, and you basically are telling the Cubs, you're going to have to make the play. Well, Iglesias did not go right away. And the ball was bounced back toward the mound off the glove of the pitcher. And then it floated out to the guy at second base, who threw out Elias Diaz while Iglesias stayed at third. I'm not saying a mistake was made. I don't know what happened. Maybe they said be cautious. To me, though, if he was running on contact,
he makes it home.
I think he makes it. I don't think they could have got him. So
I thought the same thing. I was like, wait, didn't the run score? No, he's still at third. Why didn't he go?
He didn't even go. So I want to find out what happened there. Again, these are the differences between winning and losing when two good teams are playing. And I'll be honest with you, I thought the Cubs were stupid to walk Fernando there. And the reason is because they put the winning run on base.
Yeah.
And I know this is Monday morning quarterbacking, obviously. Arise swung at the first pitch and flied out. To me, he should take a pitch there so that Fernando can steal second. Now, if Arise gets a hit, you win the game. But he didn't give him a chance to steal second. He swung at the first pitch. So that whole sequence just kind of went weird. And that's how they got their first loss of the year. But the first loss at home. But today they bounced back. And here's my notes on a scorecard from today's game. First thing I noticed today, early in the game, I think it was Iglesias was at bat, second inning. Hits a pop-up right up in the air, right to where the pitcher is. The pitcher's standing there for the Cubs, Matthew Boyd.
Yeah.
Waiting basically for the ball to come down. The catcher, Carson Kelly, comes sprinting out, turns around, throws his mask off, and makes the catch.
Yeah.
And I've always thought this because I was a pitcher, and I was told, you are not to catch a pop-up if you're the pitcher.
Under no circumstances.
And I always thought it was the stupidest thing I ever heard.
You want your fielding statistics.
No, I'm a baseball player. I feel I can catch a pop-up. But they don't want you to do it for... The main reason is this. Because when you're looking up in the air, you can't watch your footing on the mound.
Ah.
And you can stumble, you can trip.
That makes sense.
So that's why they don't want it. But because they don't want it, it creates crazy plays like that one, where the catcher has to go running out and make a great catch on a ball that was really right to the pitcher. I've always kind of wondered about that. Next. Oh, one last thing on that. Last night, big play in the game. Runner on first, bouncer right back to Estrada.
Oh, yeah.
Threw it into center field.
Yep.
Why? Because he was on the top of the mound, and when he threw, you have to step downhill on the back of the mound, which brings your throw down. That's why you got to be very careful on those throws. And that's why they don't like pitchers making throws or making catches, because the mound is a trickier place to execute that from. All right. Big play in the game was made by Elias Diaz today. And Elias Diaz today, if you look at the box score, 0 for 3. Didn't do anything. Didn't, you know, factor in the game, except for he made two great plays.
Yeah.
The first was when he was on first base in the bottom of the third, trailing 1-0, and Tyler Wade line drives a base hit to right field. Elias Diaz is a catcher. He's probably slower than me, but he got a good read on it, and he didn't slow down. And he took third on the play. This is the kind of base running that helps you win games. And did it help them? Yes, because Fernando then got it, what? Infield single.
Yep.
Diaz scored.
Yep.
Would not have scored had he been at second base. He would have had to stop at third. These are the kinds of plays that help you win. Great base running by Elias Diaz there. What you saw today was another 0-for day for Xander Bogaerts. What I saw was two really, really good high IQ baseball plays. And these, again, are things that are helping the Padres succeed on the margins. First, in the sixth inning, runner at first, one out. Pretty fast runner. I don't remember. I think it was Horner, somebody like that. They try to steal second. The ball short hops at the plate. Diaz makes a great pickup and a great throw.
Yeah.
But if it's not for Xander Bogaerts making a wonderfully beautiful reception of the throw, the guy's safe. And here's what I'm talking about. Most defensive players, when they cover second on a steal, they reach in front of them and they catch the ball and then they swipe back for the tag. If you do that, it's too late. What Bogaerts did is he brought the glove back right to where the guy was sliding and let the ball travel right into his glove, and then all he had to do was put the tag on him. That was the difference between safe and out. That's a great play that I don't think too many people notice. It's winning baseball, and it's things that the Padres are doing. Second great play by Xander in the bottom of the sixth inning. He's on first base, deep fly ball to right left center field by Gonzalez. Bogaerts tags up, takes second. Now, they did not score on that one, but he set up a scoring opportunity. These are the two winning type of plays that I'm seeing. You can say 0 for 4. You can hate Xander.
I'm not going to say that.
No, not you, but I know a lot of fans are so down on Xander. Yeah, the Xander haters. Oh, he struck out last night. He popped up this, that. Yeah. I would love to see him double and homer every time up, too. But he's doing things that are helping make differences in games. And so is Diaz, who's not hitting much, but he made a couple of big plays today as well.
When I was driving down to the game today, I turned on the Braden Soprenant show, and one of the callers was very unhappy with Xander, saying that he doesn't have the arm to be a shortstop, and they need to put him back at second. I don't necessarily see that, but they're not going to be switching Xander. Like, I don't understand why Xander is... I do understand, because he gets paid a lot of money, and he's not putting up eye-popping numbers. But like you just said and pointed out, he does a lot of other things that are very important.
He did those two things. I think the caller is probably referencing a play last night where...
He was deep in the hole.
He made an incredible pickup.
Yeah.
The ball, it was a line drive, one hopper that he short hopped up around his ear.
Yeah, yeah.
Turned all the way around.
Yeah.
Then tried to bounce the throw to first base because he didn't have momentum because of the way the ball was hit. As a result... The ball bounced twice and didn't get there in time. And so the person who doesn't understand baseball and understand the play that was made calls into Braden today and says his arm isn't strong enough. It's not Ellie De La Cruz's arm. I'll give you that.
No.
But it's more than good enough to get the job done. And on that particular play, it's not fair to criticize because the line drive ball that he gloved took him momentum away from first base. He had to throw off balance. It didn't get there, but he had to try to bounce it. I think he wanted to bounce it once, and it bounced twice. And by the time that, it was safe. But Yeah, go ahead. You guys keep being critical of Xander Bogaerts. I'll look at the 15-4 record and I'll be content.
Yeah, me too. I don't really even care what he makes anymore. It does not matter to me at all. It's a talking point during the offseason because we're talking about rosters. We're talking about how much can they afford.
When's the last time you showed up at Petco Park and they asked you to donate 50 cents towards Xander Bogaerts' salary as you walked in?
Never.
Stop it, people.
They also were saying, or not this caller, but I was also reading stuff last night because you know how I love to go into the wormhole of comments. And if Fernando was playing shortstop, he would have made that play. People! He's not playing shortstop.
First of all,
why are we comparing that?
Second of all, there's no guarantee Fernando would have made the reception of that one hop line drive.
We don't know.
It's a beautiful play.
He's playing great right field. Let's keep him there.
It was a beautiful play by Xander, I thought. The throw was looked like it didn't have much on it because his momentum was going the other way. Enough on Xander because I think he, like I said, he made two winning plays today. If you don't like it, too bad.
One thing, I got a tweet from Lance. The mark of a winning team are the daily unsung heroes that pop up. Today it was Wade. Friday, I'm sure someone else will step up. And that's what this team has.
Right. Speaking of that, Lance, I was on my scorecard here. Tyler Wade, we mentioned it earlier, though. 2-for-2, 2 RBIs, 2 runs. Even more impressive is that he did it against lefty on lefty. So, yeah, great game, Tyler. In the bottom of the eighth, 3 walks, load the bases. Fernando comes up, bases loaded, 2 out. You're ahead 3-2. What does Fernando want to do? What do you want him to do? What does everyone in the stands want him to do?
Grand slam.
Grand slam.
Easy.
Easy. Easy call.
Yeah.
Here's what he did, though. Got ahead in the count, 2-0. Now, I really want a grand slam because he's just going to groove one to you.
That's right. He's got the green light.
Guess what? It was a borderline pitch. Instead of making an out and swinging at it, he let it go.
His eye this year has been fantastic.
Next pitch. Another borderline strike. Didn't swing at it. Strike 2. Now you're like, what are you doing, Fernando? He was trying to get a pitch he could drive, and he didn't panic. Being ahead 2-0 in the count, a lot of people will just swing at anything because they feel like they're going to get an easy pitch to hit. Both pitches were really good pitches by the pitcher who didn't throw many that inning. No. Little was his name. But anyway, got to 3-2, fouled off about 7 pitches in a row, and then walked in a run. That was almost as effective as a grand slam. Yeah. I know it's not the same, and I get it. But
when you have Robert Suarez coming in, it is.
What a great at-bat that was. And it's as you said, that's an at-bat that a less mature Fernando would not have given us last year or the year before.
No, he's getting frustrated. He's swinging at the pitches that are outside of the zone. He's just trying to do something.
Well, you're trying to be a hero.
And he knows that he could be a hero in other ways. The fact that he's not swinging on that low outside breaking ball tells you everything you need to know where Fernando's at.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That was a big one. We talked about the plays in the ninth inning, the one where Manny kind of cat and moused Bush into that bunt and then was there waiting for it. That was my final note on the scorecard today.
Nice night notes on a scorecard.
Thank you, sir. Padres win 4-2. Padres win despite leaving 10 on base today. They had chances to really win the game by a lot more.
What was their risk?
4 out of 11, so not bad. And they got 3 of their 4 runs with 2 outs, which is another thing that they've been really good at all year. All right, very good. We'll take a break.
Nice job.
Do we got now? Oh, we got the Scraby Hour coming up.
Yeah, I want to look at first pitch swinging.
You got a few things to look at?
I got a few things for that.
All right, I'm here with you for the next hour. Bonus, Gwen and Chris, till 7 tonight after the Padres win 4-2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a really fun Padres team to talk about. We also have a Big Five at the end of the hour that includes something that Colorado, the University of Colorado, are doing for Shador Sanders that I think is because it's gone too far, Chris. It's gone too far. We'll get to that at the end of the hour.
I won't ruin the surprise.
Okay, you already know what I'm talking about.
I think
about.
So.
Okay.
Think so.
We're also going to go over some of what... I want to talk about Connor Joe in the Big Five because Connor Joe struggled in his at-bats, you know, and that's expected, basically, because he just came up from AAA. He was kind of put in a tough spot last night going in, pinch hitting in the 10th, so we'll talk about him. The other thing we're going to talk about, Chris, have you seen this article about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend?
I saw it, but I didn't read it because I had very little interest, but I want to hear what you have to
it's
say.
It's very interesting.
You sent out
a text.
A text about this
yes,
to us.
Yes.
And what is going on? Is she coaching the team? I mean, what is happening?
No, she is.
I find that a little hard to believe.
She's kind of playing Bill's manager a little bit,
okay.
Which is fine. I don't care if she plays Bill's manager. It's something that she did that is getting people talking because she has requested something, and we'll,
right.
I won't reveal it right now.
She wants a North Carolina baby blue jersey?
I'm sure she can get that. No, it's something else. It's okay. Something that they're not allowed to do because Bill Belichick coaches there now.
Bill Belichick is... I'll tell you one thing. You can say what you want, but I'm going to watch North Carolina games this year.
I will, too. I want to see
what happens. And I guarantee you they're going to show them.
Yeah.
They will be showing them.
Are you kidding me? They've already got the first one scheduled.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's going to be huge TV.
Who do they open with? Do you
I
have
think
it?
Virginia?
I don't think so.
Okay. North Carolina football. Let's see who can Google faster.
You're going faster. I'm not even. I stopped.
Oh, you stopped?
Yeah, you were ahead of me.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't Virginia. They play Virginia to open ACC the following week. Their first game, it looks like, is TCU.
Yes, TCU. I remember that now. Okay.
I'm just making sure. Yeah, TCU. Virginia. Virginia's.
I think Deion Sanders' first game at Colorado was against TCU.
And they won.
Yes.
And they won convincingly.
When he was, coming off a 1-12 season or something. Anyway.
All right.
So what else? What else you got? What caught you went to the game today.
I did.
All right. You went out to the game. You were up there. Were you in the box or the press box?
I was in the press box, yes.
Press box. What caught you? I mean, if I gave you a scorecard to write some notes on, what would you have been your takeaway today?
My takeaway today is that they basically are playing Padres baseball every single day, which is taking what is given to you and taking opportunities and making the most out of them. I left in the sixth inning, so I didn't get to see anything after that, but I was listening. I just think that this team knows exactly what their identity is, and I think this team knows how to exploit. Is that the word? Exploit problems with their. You're not going to help me because this is the Scraby Chronicles.
No, they're taking advantage of whatever
is
they
exploit
can.
Exploit the word?
I think, yes, to a certain extent. I mean, if a team gives them a crack, they're breaking that crack open.
Yes,
and
there
that's,
you go.
You know, one of the successes that they're having so far this season.
And I also think it's very important that they keep their foot on the gas whenever they do get ahead. They're not going and trying just to get to the end of the game like we've seen in past teams. They're putting their foot on
the
gas.
They're having good at-bats all the way through.
All the way through.
You look at the eighth inning today, they loaded them up, you know, got one run. You know, one more hit would have broken it open, but... They didn't get that hit today. They didn't get it last night either. They left 10 on today. They left 8 on last night. They were 0-7 with our runners last night. Especially, you know, noticeable was second and third with one out, and Manny struck out and Bogey popped out.
Yep.
And, you know, as much as I defended Bogey last hour, that was a bad at bat. He got a 2-0 pitch, much like we talked about with Fernando. And he put a terrible swing on it. He went after a bad pitcher's pitch. He should have taken it. You're going to get another good one on 2-1. That's what Fernando knew today.
Yeah.
And getting that walk. Bogarts was too aggressive. He popped up a bad pitch that he shouldn't have swung at, and the inning was over. But, look, you're not going to cash in every opportunity.
No.
They're batting with runners in scoring positions like .295, which is second best in baseball. But that still means you make out 70% of the time. So
yeah. I mean,
you
baseball
can't do
is
it
a
every
game based
time.
On failure.
What you want to do is get as many chances as you can, and they've been getting those for sure.
I also saw today that Nick Pavetta is for real, and he's legit.
You think?
He had a bad game in Chicago. I'm willing to just throw that away due to the cold.
He's a very good pitcher when it's over 12 degrees.
when teams weren't signing him over the offseason. A lot of the teams were scared of giving up a draft pick, and the Padres were not scared of giving up a draft pick. They also have him under contract for pretty cheap this year, and it's a very unique contract, but Nick Pivetta fits this team. He fits in line with what they do, which is attack the strike zone, and they don't let the team catch them sleeping. And Nick Pivetta's been awesome in three starts this year.
Three starts at home, one start on the road. Here's the reason why teams did not rush to start him or to sign him. He's got a career whip of 1.308.
Oh, I get all that. We talked about all that.
He's got the great stuff. He's never been able to harness it consistently. If you look at his game log, last year in Boston, year before, etc., he has games, 7 innings, 1 hit, 10 Ks. But that doesn't last. What we said when the Padres got him was he's got the stuff. Now all he needs is the whisperer.
And he's got the whisperer.
He's got the whisperer. And so far, it's a match made in heaven, because he, just like Ruben Niebla said to me when we were interviewing him at spring training, you throw 80 miles an hour, I can't help you. Remember he said
that? Yeah, he did say that.
And you guys
that.
Laughed at me.
Yes.
But the opposite is also true. If you have the stuff of Nick Pivetta, I can help you. And I think he is. I think it's a big factor. I'm not ready, like I said, to put him in the Cy Young running until I see three or four more on the road. You know, different situations. But so far, so good. And biggest out of the game today came in the third inning when the bases are loaded with nobody out. You got Kyle Tucker up, and you get the fly ball, sack fly. They get one run that inning instead of getting maybe four. That's what, look, what do you tell me all the time about the difference between a good golfer and a great golfer is?
Short game.
Short game, but just a little more specifically, the great golfer always limits the damage.
Yes.
They make a bad shot. Yes. Looks like they're going to get a double or a triple bogey.
You forget about it.
But they don't. They get a bogey, and then they come back the next hole. That's what Pivetta did in the third inning today. That could have been a big inning. You got Tucker, you got Suzuki, and you had Bush. 2-3-4, bases loaded, no out. They get one run. That helps you win the game big time right there.
So Pivetta's
been great.
I thought a lot about the Pivetta stats over the last couple weeks. He's also pitched in places that have really hitter-friendly parks, like Boston and Philadelphia. So coming to Petco could help him out a little bit.
Helps out everybody normally.
It does. I was talking about first pitch swinging for the Padres, because last year I was very upset with a lot of the first pitch swinging.
You don't like it.
Because sometimes, like last night, Luis Arraez comes up. There's a chance for the Padres to tie it up. Guy on third, all he needs to do is get the ball in play. They score. They tie it.
He got the ball in play.
Safely
get the ball in play.
But he swings first pitch, and I'm like, what? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that, Luis? Why are you swinging first pitch? You got the best eye on the team. Wait for a pitch that you can hit. Well, the reason is the Padres are very good at hitting first pitches. According to MLB.com, they're, as a team, the 9th best team in baseball, according to batting average, swinging on the first pitch. 368, their OPS is over 1, and they have 5 home runs. And if you look even further, Luis Arraez actually has the second most first pitch hits on the team this year. So he wasn't doing anything different, which I do love when I prove to myself, Chris, that...
That you were wrong?
Yeah, I run in a circle, yes.
Well, I talked about it earlier. There was a couple of reasons why I thought, and it is Monday morning quarterbacking, because if he hits the first pitch into the left center field gap and 2 runs score, the Padres win, and everybody thinks he's a hero. But I thought once they intentionally walked Fernando, the play there was for Arraez to try to take a pitch and let Fernando steal second, which I think they would have let him do. I don't think they would have thrown down, because the tying run was at third. So, to me, Fernando would have been given second base. Now Arraez digs in, and a base hit wins the game rather than tying the game. I don't know that they talk about it afterwards. I don't know if Victor Rodriguez says, hey, maybe this is a situation. I don't know if anything's said, but it was something I thought about as the ball was flying out into the glove of the left fielder, ending the game.
And if you look at, Xander Bogaerts, he's hitting 600 on the first pitch. So, basically...
There's a couple of things about being effective on the first pitch. One,
ambush factor.
Well, yes, but two, what happens? The Padres are also hitting fastballs very well this year.
Yes.
And what are most first pitches?
Fastballs.
Fastballs, right. But what's going to start happening is that teams will start the Padres off with breaking balls, and they won't get them over the strike zone. And the Padres are smart enough to lay off and not swing at the first pitch. But guess what happens then? You're ahead in the count almost every time.
Yeah.
Pitchers pitching from behind. So your success on hitting first pitches can help you down the road in other ways.
Final thing I saw from today's game would be Robert Suarez. 8 for 8 now, saves, save opportunities. He only had 8 pitches today, Chris. He is barely throwing the baseball this year, and he's not even close to being touched by these hitters. He's been that good this year.
Well, Suzuki squared him up pretty good.
The only one.
One of the few, but here's what, it didn't matter because it was a 2-run game.
Yeah.
So let the guy hit the ball.
Yeah.
That's what Suarez is thinking, and he did it. Good on Suarez. Look, he's had 9 appearances. He's 8 for 8. The other game was a shutout inning last night where he pitched the top of the 9th in a non-save situation. I think he's given up, 3 hits all year? He's walked maybe 1 or 2 guys. He's striking out his normal amount.
His whip is .56.
Wow, that's right. I mean, in 9 innings, he's allowed 5 base runners. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. 3 hits and 2 walks.
That is crazy.
It's crazy good.
It is crazy good.
Suarez has been great. And, you know, so is Adam. And so is Estrada blew out the side today, too.
Yes, he did.
In the 7th inning. So, I mean, Jason Adam couldn't pitch today because he had been his 3rd day in a row. It's not that he couldn't have done it. It's that Mike Schilt's not going to push that in April. And that's fine. Wandy Peralta, as I said, I thought had a good inning. I know he did give up the home run. But again, you can afford to when you're up by 2 runs. You let the guy hit it, and he hit it out. Give him credit. But now it's 3-2. You can't give up a home run now. Wandy dug in, got the next 2. Hap got a nice piece of hitting, doubled. And then Wandy strikes out, I think, their best overall guy, Kyle Tucker, to strand the tying run at 2nd. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, me too.
So the bullpen continues to be...
The
bullpen has an ERA of 1.5. The team has an ERA of 1.25 at home. I mean...
You can't touch that.
That's why they're 12-1.
Yeah,
at home. It kind of coincides with that.
Yes. I was kind of bummed that they lost last night just because of the record of 14 straight that the Rays set a couple years ago. But those teams did not go to the World Series, so...
That Rays team did not go.
Yeah. All right. Padres win today 4-2 over the Cubs. They take the series. They take the season series over the Cubs.
How'd they do that?
Because they've already played twice.
Yeah, and what was the total in the season
series? Never mind.
Series?
They actually were 3. Okay. Math is not doing... It's not friendly to me. They split the season series.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
If I was on the Scraby Chronicles, I would have just gone with it, but would find out on the chat
somebody would
in
have
like
mentioned
5
it
seconds.
To you. Yeah, somebody would have mentioned
anyway,
it.
Anyway, they're done with the Cubs. With the Cubs. When we get back, we'll talk to you a little bit about Houston. We'll get into some of those other stories. And then we got the Big 5 at the end of the hour on 97.3 The Fan.
Wants the home plate umpire to...
We got a benches clearing thing going on in Pittsburgh, Chris.
They're going to see... This is
Andrew McCutchen gets his
this a few years
almost
ago.
Gets his head taken off
whether to issue
by a Jorge Lopez
injection.
Pitch.
Now McCutchen and Lopez
putting down the wrong one, and everybody goes and they get out off the benches and everybody runs out to the middle of the field. Everybody's angry. Jorge Lopez is the guy on the other side. Remember, Jorge Lopez was the guy last year who threw his mitt over the fence when he was a Met. But anyway, I like little brouhahas like this, Chris.
I don't think there's anything more. Understandably not disappointing in sports than a benches clearing brawl.
I can understand why you say that.
Absolutely nothing happens ever. The highlight of every benches clearing brawl is the yo-yos sprinting in from the bullpen for no reason at all.
I guess
I don't, you know, benches clearing brawls do very little for me.
I guess Mitch Keller hit Paul DeJong in the face last night, and so he broke his nose.
Yow.
And Yowza. So they were on high alert, and Jorge Lopez went high and tight to Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen's been around for a little bit, so he doesn't
Andrew
take
McCutchen
kindly
is
to that.
The, I think he's the longest tenured player in baseball.
I think you're right.
17 seasons. There was another guy Jason Hayward, I think, is right up
He's
there.
He's been there for a long time, too.
But I you know, it's exciting for the moment. The announcers, here they come!
And especially the benches have emptied!
Yeah.
It's also the Pirates.
I know that we have to clean this stuff up, but how about the days in the NBA where players could come off the bench and they'd just be throwing haymakers? And you probably don't recall, but in hockey, if there was a fight on the ice, it was almost imperative for everybody to come on the ice and start fighting.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And it was maybe 20 years ago, maybe longer now, that they put in the rule where if you come off the bench during a hockey fight, you're immediately ejected, and that stopped that from happening.
Okay.
But often you would have a brawl here, a brawl there, the goalie's fighting over here, three guys in a pile over here. And it was crazy. It was like world wrestling. It was what
just
it was.
Like punching each other in a circle.
Absolutely. You could come right off the bench with no penalty. So
that's wild.
That is, good. Some of those hockey fights were legendary beyond belief. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers of the old times were called the Broad Street Bullies. The arena was on Broad Street in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The team used to just bludgeon people, and they won a couple Stanley Cups doing that.
Sounds like a different time. That's
it
what
was
it
a
sounds
little
like.
Yes.
Around baseball, the Giants lost last night, but they're winning right now in Philadelphia 11-4 in the top of the eighth inning.
Giants are, they're scary.
If they win this game, they're going to be 13-5. They're right there. Like, no one's talking about the Giants. Everybody's talking about the Padres, which I love, but
we're talking about the Giants. The best three teams in baseball are in this division. The Dodgers have already won tonight.
Because they're playing the Rockies.
Yeah, the game hasn't started.
It's been closer than we thought the last couple nights with the
Rockies.
What's
been closer? The Rockies scored in both games. That's it.
We didn't expect them to.
They were down 5-0 in one game. They were down 6-0 in the other game, and then they scored a couple of runs. That's pretty much the extent of it for the Rockies. They have not been close to winning either of those games.
Pretty much. Diamondbacks win 6-2.
Diamondbacks have also, I think they've won five in a row. So they might have the fourth best record in baseball. Pretty close, I bet you.
Thankfully, there is one team in the National League West that's not very good, and we've already talked about them, the Rockies. Yes. The Mets lost to the Twins today in 10 innings, 4-3. The Brewers beat the Tigers 5-1. The Cardinals beat the Astros 4-1. Now, the Astros, this is where the Padres are heading. They're going to Houston. Right. They're going to be playing the Astros. This Astros team is not the Astros teams that we are familiar with, because Alex Bregman's not in the team anymore. Jose Altuve's in left field. He's getting a little bit older. They're 8-10 on the year. I know their record doesn't mean much, but I think this is a winnable series for the Padres.
Well, Padres shouldn't be taking a backseat to any team at this moment.
No,
right?
They've proven that,
including
they're
better. Including the Astros. Secondly, you look at the pitching matchup. Padres are going to face rookie right-hander Ryan Gusto on Friday night. He'll be making his second career start. Started the year in the bullpen. Now he's making his second start.
Doesn't bode well.
Well, it's, we don't know a lot about the guy, but it's not like you're going against Nolan Ryan here.
Or Framber, who they actually do have.
They got Framber on Sunday.
Okay.
But Saturday they have Hayden Wisniewski, another right-hander. Both guys were drafted in the 2019 draft. Wisniewski in the 6th round, Gusto in the 11th round.
He's going to have to pitch for some gusto.
I'll try. You're really hilarious.
That was a good one.
You think?
Yeah, okay. I actually know. There was one other game that I wanted to talk about. Oh, actually, it was the A's and White Sox are playing right now, but the White Sox DFA'd Mike Clevinger. I'm not even going to ask if the Padres should be interested in Mike Clevinger's services.
Please don't.
Okay. All right. We can move on with that. The Mariners actually.
You talk about a guy whose career fell quickly.
It did.
He came to the Padres as a number one ace pitcher.
Like a massive deal.
4 years later, he's pretty much done.
If you didn't know, Padres have made a trade today. Bryce Johnson was acquired from the Pirates in exchange for catcher Brett Sullivan. So Brett Sullivan is now with the Pirates organization. And Bryce Johnson, this is where, because we've been surmising that Mike Schilt is letting everybody know that Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge are not going to be on this road trip.
I think we're beyond surmising it. He said it.
Let's play it again.
He flat out said Jackson Merrill and Brandon Lockridge are not making this road trip.
I think they're getting close to yogging. I think they're getting fairly close. They're going to stay back this homestand, and we're about to put together their calendar that, you know, from a baseball activity standpoint, that what they can do over the next 7 days.
There you go, 7 days. He's not going on the trip. The acquisition of Bryce Johnson makes my mind go a little bit wild. They're getting an outfielder that's familiar with the Padres, and that may be not for a long, long time, but they're trying to bolster up their outfield while Jackson Merrill's out.
No. Tirso Ornelas would be called up way before Bryce Johnson, as would Eggy Rosario. Bryce Johnson is just another guy.
So what's the point of trading Brett Sullivan then?
They apparently would rather have Bryce Johnson.
I guess so. I mean, you don't think that they went out and got that guy? Like, that's a really specific guy. They got him to bring him in and put him on the team. Maybe they're just not ready for Tirso yet.
I don't. I think, first of all, Bryce Johnson is basically Brandon Lockridge.
Yes.
They don't need another one. They have a reason why they did it. I don't believe it's because they feel Jackson Merrill's going to be out for the year.
No, that's not what I said. Whew. Don't even put that in the universe. All right. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Frozen Ropes San Diego. Hey, parents. Here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our baseball summer league is the perfect fit for your player starting June 16th through August 17th. Summer league includes 8 practices, 8 games. Register by April 30th and save $50. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. When we get back, we have the Big Five. We're going to talk about Bill Belichick. We're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders. And we're going to talk about Connor Joe on the other side on 97.3 The Fan. There's a Scrabinator Game 3 coming up on May 12th, and right now you could sign up. They're playing the Angels. It's a 6:40 p.m. game on a Monday, so you just need to go to 97.3thefansd.com, click the contest page at the top, and then you'll see Scrabinator Game link. And you click that, and you sign up. I randomly draw everything the week before, and then I notify everyone.
That's all it is. So you put your name in the hopper,
you put
and
your name
then
in
you
the hopper.
Hope that Matt Scraby selects you.
Yes.
Is there anything people can do to grease the skids?
No, because I don't want that pressure. I don't like it.
What if one of the people, you know, just haphazardly sent you a check in the mail?
How much?
Couple 200? Couple hundo.
No, because I'll get fired. I would get fired. It's not worth the juice. Is not worth the squeeze in that regard.
All right.
But yeah, May 12th, Scrabinator game. We've already had two of them. They've already been really fun. Chris showed up to the first one.
I'll try to come to this one. Okay. What did you say, Monday night?
Monday night, May 12th.
Okay.
They're playing the Angels. I know that a lot of people said that they couldn't make it to the first two because they're a day game, so I secured a night game.
This will
game
be a night
everyone.
Game. I'm looking forward to seeing Anthony Rendon and company play.
Oh, he's not going to be playing.
Oh. How about Zion Williamson? Is he playing for the Angels?
He's eating
night?
A pizza in the cafeteria.
How about
Mike Trout should be playing?
How about
he's
Ben
been
Simmons?
Healthy.
Is he playing for the Angels that night?
No, he's laying down on the couch. He's
how about
got
Chris
a,
Bryant? Is he playing for
the
Angels?
He's definitely
that night?
Not playing for the Angels that night. That should not an easy game because I think the Angels are leading the American League West right now.
They're half game back at Texas. At
a
the
half
moment.
Game, okay.
Texas Chris, 10-7, Halos 9-7.
Chris gave me a pretty awesome stat here in the break, and if you look at all of baseball, we're talking about the Diamondbacks being 11-7. If you look at all of baseball, the National League West has the first team, second team, third, and then the Diamondbacks are tied with the Mets for the fourth best team in regards to record in baseball. If that doesn't tell you how difficult the National League West is, then I don't know what to tell you.
And if that doesn't tell you that the Rockies are headed for the White Sox record because they're going to be playing all four of those teams, I don't know what else could tell you that either. I don't know. It's early in the season. We're 20 games in. But you'd be hard-pressed to find any time in baseball, 20 games into a season like this, that the top four teams in baseball are all in one division.
Yeah.
Top four. Top three was something. Now we got top four.
And
so it's crazy.
Padres say they love it. I would like an easier division as a fan.
Would you rather them be, say, in the AL Central?
Where... Yes, they have a playoff spot before the season even starts.
That's not necessarily true.
The AL Royals Central, started slow.
I'm just saying the AL Central had three playoff teams last year. So right now it's a dogfight. I think this keeps the fire to the feet of the Padres though, which is fine. They keep on playing. They don't, you know, look over your shoulder. Just keep winning.
There is something to that. There is something to having a little bit of pressure. And by the way, I mean, I know that the Dodgers haven't had the greatest start in the world, but they're still a pretty good team, too. And
I just want to throw one last thing. I love to bash the Rockies while we can here, in case Dick Monfort's listening.
Okay.
Because I know they don't bash him in Denver. They don't care. The second worst run differential in baseball right now is the Nationals. They're minus 19.
Okay.
Obviously, the Rockies are worse.
Yes.
They're minus 50. That's how, I mean, they're not even within 30 runs of the next team.
Run differential, people, is runs scored minus runs allowed.
Yeah, yeah. They're not even within 30 of the next worst team.
They're not even getting, that tells me that they're not scoring runs at all.
And giving a lot up.
And giving a ton up. Yeah. Man, that is brutal.
All right.
At least we're not Rockies fans, Chris. At least we're not in Denver right now.
Fortunately, neither of us are married to somebody from Denver.
Oh, yeah. One of us is married to someone from Denver.
Oh, no.
All right. We need to get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I want to start with Connor Joe because we spoke with Connor Joe at spring training.
Number five.
He's a Powegian. We want Connor Joe to do well. We want Connor Joe to be on the team.
He's a Torero-in. Yeah.
And so he has lots of ties here. There's many reasons for us to want to love Connor Joe.
I think another reason, this guy's won a battle with cancer.
Yes.
He's an inspiration.
He is an inspiration.
In a lot of ways.
I want to shout out our guy Reckoner on the chat as well because of cancer and made it out the other side. And Reckoner's a huge listener, so congrats, Reckoner. But I've told Reckoner, you should go talk to or try to talk to Connor Joe because I believe they had the same thing.
Well, go and talk to other people.
Yes,
and
go tell your story.
Encourage them.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I do with my alcohol. I go tell other people, hey, you can get your life together too. It helps people. But
yes, it does.
Connor Joe, many reasons for us to like him. He was called up earlier this week. He got put in a position that baseball players are going to be put in, pinch hitting in the 10th inning after not playing a game all year. So it wasn't like the best situation for him to be in. It wasn't the best at bat either. I think it was four pitches, took the first two strikes, had a ball, and then struck out on the last pitch.
He didn't swing the bat.
Yeah.
He took them all. I want to say
Oh, I didn't. See, those are things that I don't really notice.
Yeah, I did. He didn't swing at any of the pitches, but here's one thing. He'd been in the minor leagues for the first month.
Yes.
He had not seen curveballs like that.
That was a massive curveball.
The guy started him off, Thielbar, I believe it was, for the Cubs, the lefty. Threw him two curveballs that were yackers. I mean, those things were whoo-hoo!
They were.
So he was like, whoa, haven't seen that in a while.
They're good pitches, too.
They really were. And then they buzzed him on the inside corner. So it was a bad-looking at-bat, but he also saw some really good pitches right there.
I don't want to, I'm not going to take anything away from that. He went 0 for 2 today. We're fine with that. But
he also
clobbered
a ball to right center field that was caught. So he had a good at bat his second time today. It's okay. You know, he hit the ball squarely.
I'm not going to ask whether or not he needs to be sent down.
Oh my God.
I'm going to ask this. Do you think that he is playing this year looking over his shoulder, trying to stay out of the minor leagues? Is he being chased by AAA?
I don't know. I don't know. It depends how he looks at things. I would imagine that Connor Joe, after beating cancer, doesn't look at major league or minor league with as much, you know, desperation as some other people would. He's been through some tough times in his life already. Being in the minor leagues is the least of his concerns. So I think he'll be fine. He'll relax. He'll get into the groove. He's a 250, 260 hitter. This is not, you know, you didn't bring in Rod Carew.
Yeah.
You brought in a guy that's going to hopefully help contribute off the bench and, against lefties. let's give him at least give him 20 at bats before we give up on him.
Oh, I agree. I mean, give him a little bit of time.
He's 0 for 3.
This was kind of his. This was kind of what the role we thought he was going to play. I guess we thought he was going to play a bigger role with being a platoon with Jason Hayward, but still a lot of season left. No one give up on Connor Joe. Okay, no one do that.
Number four.
All right, here's the Bill Belichick story. Now, he is the head coach at North Carolina for the football team, as we all know. And he has put his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, kind of in charge of certain things. And so The Athletic put out an article about all of this. And it brings to light some things that were the University of North Carolina was told not to do.
Okay.
By Jordan Hudson. So before the Tar Heels announced they were hiring Bill's son, Steve, for the same job that he held at the University of Washington, Hudson wrote to the school's media team in an email, quote, raise awareness regarding a sometimes subtle, sometimes obvious, frequently occurring detail within media releases and social media posts. That's what she said in the email. Though Steve Belichick is in fact Bill's son, he should be depicted and represented as his own established, credible entity as opposed to an extension of Bill, Hudson wrote on December 22nd.
So she wrote a critique of the
how they're
press
supposed
release.
To handle it.
Got it.
It can be easily misinterpreted that Steve is simply benefiting from nepotism, but that is not the case. Steve was fortunate to have learned defensive football strategy from the greatest defensive mind of all time. He has earned his position due to his performance and output. So that was just one part of everything, Chris.
Why do girlfriends ever
I think
do
he
this
put
stuff.
Them in charge or put her in charge.
Of what?
I think she's his manager now. There's a whole new business that she's running in regards to Bill Belichick.
They put her in charge of what? Criticizing
of the business.
Criticizing the team's media relations department? I don't get it.
She's not doing that. She just is trying to keep their image in line. That's, I think, what she's trying to do here.
His and his son's image.
Yeah, she's like kind of the publicist manager of this new entity.
So she wrote this
that they're putting together.
She undressed the media relations people for their press release, pointing out the fact that Steve Belichick, which is indeed true, is Bill's son.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, on February 13th, Jordan Hudson asked people at North Carolina, quote, is there anyone monitoring the UNC football page for slanderous commentary and subsequently deleting it / blocking users that are harassing BB in the comments?
Okay.
All right. Go to The Athletic for the rest of the article.
I'm good enough. What do you want to ask me?
What I want to ask you is Bill in a predicament.
He's in a pickle.
Yeah, is he in a pickle?
I think he's in a pickle, but I don't think he cares. I think he's going to coach the team and let her make and lie in her own bed, and he's not going to worry too much about it. But yeah, I wish people would just stay out of their significant other's business and issues. I mean, I don't know. What does she do? Anything other than this? If she was a model. I don't know.
She used to be a cheerleader.
A cheerleader. So would she like it if Bill wrote to the head cheerleader people and said, I think you should use Jordan more? These people, I think
they would have to listen too.
But you know what I'm saying, though? They don't think about it from the other side.
No.
And she's trying to probably do everything what's best for Bill, but she's not doing that.
Manager of Trouble Cub Enterprises and other entities, a company named Chapel Bill. The All Belichick team and a video podcast production firm.
This is what North Carolina got itself.
Yeah.
You know what? Tell the media relations people, sorry, Belichick's our guy, and you're going to have to live with this stuff.
I love it how she's like, don't bring attention to the fact that he's Bill's son. But then also don't say anything online about it and make sure that no one ever knows about it. It's kind of ridiculous, but I think Bill Belichick is going to regret.
I hope that whoever broadcast the first game against TCU doesn't go, oh, there's Steve Belichick, the defensive coordinator and son of Bill. They're going to get
Jordan Hudson's going to be emailing.
She'll come storming into the booth.
What did you call him? You said he was Bill's son. That's not true. Well, it is true, but it's not true.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah.
Number three.
Now, this one's kind of weird, Chris. British tennis player Harriet Dart has issued an apology after asking the umpire in her match to inform her opponent, Lois Boisson, to wear deodorant during their Ruin Open match yesterday. Dart claimed that Boisson, quote, smells really bad.
Oh my God.
Courtside microphones caught her making the complaint in the second set. I looked up the video. You can barely hear her, so I'm not going to play it, but you can find the video out there.
Okay, so wait. She went to the umpire.
So here's what happens. She's sitting down.
Okay. Between games.
Yes.
Right.
The opponent crosses in front of her. She gets up. She goes to the other side. As she's passing the referee, she says, hey, can you ask her to put on a little bit of deodorant?
She stinks.
Yeah, she went on to say, quote, because the smell, can you tell her to wear deodorant? She smells really bad.
Did the opponent then go up to the referee and say, can you ask her to fix her teeth? That's a generalization.
I always say
that the English people have bad teeth. It's a joke.
Let's not
get all the English people out there upset.
Well, guess what? She had to apologize. She put on her Instagram. Dart did. I want to apologize for what I said on the court today. It was a heat of the moment comment that I truly regret. That's not how I want to carry myself, and I take full responsibility. I have a lot of respect for Lois and how she competed today.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
I'll learn from this and move forward. Now, on the other side, Lois Boisson has a pretty good sense of humor about this whole thing. She posted an Instagram story. She posted an edited photo of herself holding deodorant during a serve. She also tagged Dove and said, quote, apparently need a collab, which means she needs to work with Dove.
Maybe that was a good way. Maybe this is an eye-opener for Lois, that she does need a little deodorant. Did you ever think of that? Here is the question. Maybe this is truth.
Here is the question.
Uncomfortable, but truth.
Should athletes have to wear deodorant?
No. How are you going to check?
You could easily check.
Oh, please.
This is gross. Like, have you ever played a pickup basketball game with someone who's stinky and sweaty and disgusting?
I just let them score.
I do, too, because it's stinky and gross.
I don't like to be skins in a shirt skin game, but I dislike guarding skins more.
Oh, yeah. It's so gross.
I think we're finally beyond shirts and skins, aren't we now? People can just wear, you know, the same color shirt. It's not that big of a... Most people have versatile jerseys now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Don't have to play shirts and skins anymore. But this was... No, I'm not going to blanket every athlete, you know. I mean, like the... The Scandinavian bobsled team probably doesn't need to wear deodorant. They're okay.
They all just smell together.
Hockey players, hockey players could wear all the deodorant in the world. Their equipment will still stink to high heaven. Not going to change anything.
That is true. Yeah. I just found this story to be hilarious.
Pretty funny.
When someone smells, it's a terror. Like, when I worked at the bank back in the day, Chris... There was one customer who was homeless.
Oh.
And he would come in, and all of us smelled it.
It's pretty hard to even, you know...
Focus?
Totally ignore it, because it's sometimes the stench is so bad that you almost have to react.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, he may have been down on his luck, but it was still a really terrible smell. Really terrible smell. All right.
That was a definitely a Scraby Chronicle story there.
Oh, yeah. I love a good deodorant story.
Yeah.
There was a scary moment today, Chris, in the Mets and Cardinals game. Did you see this? Hunter Wendelstedt.
Did the Mets play somebody different?
Or maybe this was yesterday?
I don't know. I don't think the Mets played the Cardinals. But anyway, go ahead. It was a Mets-Cardinals game. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's a scary moment from today's... Oh, they typed it wrong. It's the Mets and the Twins.
Okay.
All right. Good catch, Chris.
You're welcome.
I was just reading what this idiot put on there, so I'm the idiot. Hunter Wendelstedt.
Don't get an argument from me.
He is an umpire, as we all know, but he took one.
He's not a very good one. I don't mean to kick him when he's down.
You shouldn't
take a bad shot. Okay.
But here is, I put it up on the screen. If you want to watch our YouTube, you can go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. But here is what happened.
He shoots that one off. Hunter
foul ball
and
he goes directly into his head.
Did it get him in the head?
I think it did. Got him right in the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
And he goes
just
down
talking
hard.
The other day about how the
he was first base umpire. You know, this is so funny. Turn that down for a second. That's so funny. The Mets and Keith Hernandez, specifically on their broadcast, were talking about how first base umpires are positioned differently this year.
Interesting.
They're a little closer to the bag. And they're off the foul line. And that's right where he was standing.
Yeah.
Something we'd have to talk to Mike Winters or somebody about.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But have they asked first base umpires to stand in a different spot than they used to? I don't know that it would have mattered there.
Look
but
at him. He is in trouble.
He got crushed. Is he okay?
I believe he's okay, but he did get crushed. And
he's got to be bleeding profusely there as the trainer runs out. I mean, he got hit in the head with a line drive.
It's pretty bad.
From 90 feet away.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I have to say,
I'm going to withdraw my comment that Hunter's not a great umpire, and I'm going to wish him the best here because that looked like at Hoyt.
So the question is, should umpires wear helmets? This is not what's out there.
I brought it up not that long ago. Base coaches wear helmets. The umpires are closer than the base coaches. It's not going to be much longer. It'll happen.
It's happening. You watch. Yeah, after this,
you watch.
No one wants to take a 90 mile an hour hit off their head.
How do I say this? I'll just say it and then you judge me however you want to judge me. The guy who died, his name was Coolbaugh. He was a first base coach in the Rockies minor leagues. And he got hit with a line drive and he actually died.
Oh.
That is when they started making base coaches wear helmets. Okay?
Okay.
This is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they all wear helmets. Maybe 15 years ago. Now they all wear helmets. I've not seen another base coach be hit since then.
So it's very rare.
There's part of me that says, I don't want to say it was an overreaction, but was it an overreaction? I know that the man died, so something needed to be done. But I don't know the base coaches really need them. It doesn't come into play hardly ever. Umpires don't get hit in the head hardly ever. But he did get hit today,
yeah.
And that looked like it hurt a lot.
It did.
So
he went out of the game. Last one, Chris.
Number one.
As we're heading to the end of the show, Colorado has announced that they are going to retire Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's number on April 19th before their spring game. Does Shedeur Sanders deserve to have his number retired?
I could easily see retiring
Travis Hunter.
Hunter, he won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
As did Rashad Salaam, former San Diego kid. Played at Colorado.
Yes.
I'm assuming they've retired his. I don't know. But no. Shedeur Sanders is not, to me, of that. Did he lead them to anything?
They finished 13-12 victory record.
But they finished in third place this year, got crushed by BYU in a bowl game.
Yep.
This is not the most memorable season in Colorado history. It was okay.
Yeah.
But not good enough to have your number retired.
All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, Tony rejoins us. He'll be in Houston. We have the roundtable at 10 a.m., so make sure you tune in for that. We'll have the show tomorrow. And a Padres off day. Feel good about them winning today. Padres win the series with the Cubs. And Chris and I are going to go off in more merry way. I don't know what Chris is doing next, but I think I'm going to go home and say hi to Lucky.
I'm just waiting to see how you finish the show out.
Oh, I always do. Well, I'm already past the time, so good night, everybody.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.